The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Doug.
I'm Boar.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
Hey, remember we did that community update and I was like, well, hey guys, I'm going to be in Chicago, so I ain't going to be in the episode. Whoa, I'm on the episode. There, turns out October's still a crazy magic carpet ride, and just like Princess Jasmine, things are getting kind of bumpy.
Wait, what?
Excuse me?
It's a deleted scene. You guys probably haven't seen it.
Whoa.
Okay.
I'm imagining what that means, and I don't know.
I've got some thoughts, but they're not very pure.
Well, Jafar hit her with a dust, and she broke out into warts.
I thought she was just trying to shave, and she just got it went horribly wrong. She got razor burn and stubble.
I hear that, girl.
She got
it's
bumpy.
The worst. It's the worst.
I don't like sand. It's coarse. Gets everywhere.
This episode, just if you're a YouTube watcher, usually we're not doing a video this time around on account of the crazy things that are happening in this month. So, but we are having our standard Nerdy Show discussion of all the latest pop culture to seep into our collective water reservoir of the mind. And I'm going to talk about some shit that I did in Chicago, and everybody else is going to talk about some pop culture stuff and also shit from their lives. So, because obviously I got quite a lot to unload on. Anybody else got some cool happenings?
Nope.
No.
No, I you brought me a comic that I enjoyed.
Oh, yes.
How? And I don't really read. You know that. And comics are still a stretch, even though they have pictures. But I was brought the new Great Lakes Avengers, which is like my favorite superhero team because of the best. And I had a problem with it, though. It's not like a reboot. It's just a continuation, but it's issue one.
Right.
But there wasn't enough Squirrel Girl.
Well, yeah, because Squirrel Girl got too big for their britches.
Yeah, I'm
Squirrel
a
Girl's
irritated.
Pro now. She's an Avenger now. She's a real Avenger.
I know they show her in one of the scenes actually doing, you know, sitting with them eating food, and then they go back to the Great Lakes Avengers. But Cap, there was a part in the book. You read it, right?
Yeah.
There's a part in the book that made no sense to
me. Well, hold on. Why don't we tell everybody about the history of the Great Lakes Avengers according to
Brandon?
I don't
even know what that is.
Oh, because I don't know the entire... I mean, it's...
You've read all of their appearances.
How good is my memory?
Very bad.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start.
It's so bad, you had to ask, how good is my memory?
It's basically a team that wanted to be another Avengers, but they're so horrible at their job that they basically were assigned to the Great Lakes, mm-hmm. To protect the Great Lakes area. So you have one of the characters is Mr. Immortal.
Mr. Immortal, yeah.
Who basically can't really do anything but not die, so he gets killed a lot. Like, you know, getting buried underground, getting shot in the head, and then he just comes back later.
Mm-hmm.
There's Bertha, who was a supermodel, but she can change her weight and become super large. Kind of like, I don't want to say, kind of like the Blob.
She has the appearance of X-Men's The Blob.
Yeah. However, she can also lose the weight by vomiting everywhere, but she has to vomit it back up.
okay.
There's Doorman, who actually ended up working for, like, this omnipotent being of death, Oblivion, but he's not
Doorman.
Really,
does he just open doors for people?
He could just open like interdimensional doors and teleport, and he's kind of like
he's like the dude from Matrix Reloaded with the keys, where he can open a door and just go somewhere.
Yeah.
So he has way more powers than like Iron Man. But
well, he's pretty much
good enough to be an Avenger.
He's pretty much.
Is he just an idiot?
He's pretty much death. He's pretty much death and works for like the god of death, but he doesn't really give a shit, so he just hangs around with them and just fucks around.
So he could just join the Avengers, open the door, like Captain America and Spider-Man.
No,
the
he's
door.
Kind of a clumsy idiot, though, so I mean, it won't... He'll just fuck around.
He'll fail aptitude tests. He's very powerful, but...
There was Dinosaur.
Yeah.
Who was a female pterodactyl lady.
R.I.P.
She's... Spoiler, she died. Mr. Immortal is really sad about that. Who else? Oh, Flatman.
Flatman, who's Mr. Fantastic but two-dimensional.
So he's two-dimensional and can stretch. Although this is
so far, several of them seem better than like Hawkeye and Black Widow.
That's just because you haven't read the comic. But well, they brought Squirrel Girl in because she's just like she used to hang out with them or something. They brought her in.
Squirrel Girl was the most powerful member of the team. Mm-hmm.
Well, as soon as she took down what like Thanos and what's that other MODOK and Doctor Doom, I guess they were like, okay,
she should be an Avenger. Regardless.
Well, she took out Doctor Doom way before she met them.
Yeah,
by what? True. Like hiding a bunch of nuts or
no? This is canon. Doctor Doom. Doctor Doom
it's nibbling to death.
Yes, that's exactly what. Doctor Doom.
She hid Thanos' nuts.
Doctor Doom kidnapped Iron Man, and this was actually legit in the comics. And on their way back to his lair or whatever, she conjured a ton of squirrels, and they friggin' just ate the shit out of his ship. And she beat the crap out of Doctor Doom.
Out of a ship.
He had like a little flying ship thing that he was.
Was it made out of?
It was like a floating
nuts?
Car. No, but they were like tearing through wires and things, and she basically punched him in the face and beat the crap out of him and saved Iron Man. But the funny thing is,
I feel like I would be safe in like a Ford Escort, though. Like,
the funny
an old one, even.
Well, here's the thing: Squirrel Girl's comic is called The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Nobody beats her.
Her actual superpower is that she always wins.
Pretty much. I mean, she has super agility.
So she's like Batman.
No money.
I mean. Batman doesn't always... He wins like 99% of the time.
She has super agility and communicate with squirrels. That's pretty much it. She dated Wolverine.
She's also really good at computer science.
How short did that go?
who did she date before he went crazy and stuck himself with spikes?
Oh,
Speedball?
Yeah, Speedball, who became Penance
Speedball.
After Spizzle,
what does Speedball
Civil
do?
War. Speedball has this kind of like ricocheting light energy power.
What happened to him? Do you know the story?
Speedball sounds like an illegal drug.
I think
it sounds like he just is an owner of a super happy fun ball.
Yeah.
Well, he was, and then I think
dude, that's hot. Speedball.
He was, and then he killed, I think, a bus full of children by accident. I think it was a bus full
it was
of
a
children?
Conspiracy. It was a setup. They set him up, but like no one actually died. But
so he wears like this metal suit with spikes that constantly stab him now.
Because he thought he was a mass murderer. This is all ramifications of Civil War as it was in the comic books, actually.
He thought he was a mass murderer.
So he became a cutter, basically.
Yeah, and then he had a cat named Penitent Puss.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, a thing. It was a serious comic, too. So it really was.
Squirrel Girl's out.
Okay, but I just want to say, Squirrel Girl does come, like, she basically made Doctor Doom her bitch. She'll show up and, like, borrow something from him, and he'll be like, why are you in here? Oh, whatever. And he'll just, like, go back to watching TV and not give a shit. She's running around his lair. Because he knows he can't beat her. Anyway, Great Lakes Avengers. Issue 1. So back to my original question for you, Cap. There is a scene, and I don't know if they're going to talk about it later. Scene, even though it's in a comic book. Where Flatman isn't flat, and he looks like a 20-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And they're just like, I thought you were always flat. And he's like, I could be 3D sometimes. And then they just don't talk about it again and move on to the next scene.
Well, he also said, how do you think I eat and poop? That's what he said to them.
True, except when he's flat, he looks like a mid-40s man,
and then
when he's 3D, he looks like an 8. I think he sent like
it's
a proxy.
All the wrinkles get smoothed out when you stretch.
I mean,
I did notice that.
No,
I thought
he looks really old when he's.
It
flat.
Might just
oh,
be that he was
right.
drawn yeah. quite yeah. young. So, I don't know.
Well, because he's back to normal again in the next scene, flat. So I
he's
think,
like Shazam, where he just sort of like.
Well, they've never
changed his form.
The first issue's out, so maybe they'll get back to it later. I feel like he sent a proxy, and that wasn't him. It'll talk about
are
that
they,
later.
Are
like,
they
he
bringing,
sent like this kid dressed up as him?
Are they bringing Squirrel Girl into like some sort of a live action movie or something?
They've always wanted
people
to.
People wanting
it's
to.
Been,
fans
it's been rumored
for
a
just because
really
I'm not familiar with the character, so I googled it real quick, and on the image search, there's lots of pictures of like I think her name's Anna Kendrick.
Well, she's been
in Scott Pilgrim.
She's made cameos in tons of other stuff, like X-Men animated series. Like
I just didn't know if that was like a thing that was going
to
happen.
Fans petitioned for her. Fans are also petitioning for the girl who played Barb on Stranger Things to be Squirrel.
I saw one of those too.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
it's actually the next Marvel Netflix show.
There's been rumors for a long time. Squirrel Girl prints money at this point, so it's entirely possible.
That's all I care about.
Unbeatable.
But I really love this new issue of Great Lakes Avengers.
It's not very long because it's a comic. But.
It's written by Zach Gorman, who listeners might know as the artist and writer behind those really heartrending one-page comics about like Nintendo characters. Like he's particularly known for Zelda and Earthbound ones that'll like just be these moments of time that'll just kind of cut you to the quick and make you feel things.
And now he's writing a humorous comic.
Well, his actual first break into the mainstream comic world was writing the first one or maybe two volumes of Rick and Morty.
Did you just say cut them to the quick?
Yes.
Okay.
Why?
Is that a real... Do people say that?
They don't say that anymore.
Okay.
But they did.
I thought that was just a grooming your cat type of phrase.
I believe that it comes from cat grooming specifically.
It's like, I like the cut of your jib. No one says it anymore, but there's one person we know that would say it. Do you really?
Yeah.
You say, hey man, I like the cut of your jib.
I say, when I'm talking to third person, I say, I like the cut of their jib.
The first time I heard the word jibs or jib was in like Quake 2 or Quake 3. When you explode someone, it's called jibs.
Wait, why?
I don't know. You just explode them. The jibs go everywhere.
That's gibs.
As in giblets?
No, it was with a J, wasn't it?
No, it's
was it
G.
With a G? Have I just been pronouncing it wrong this whole time?
I don't know. It's mostly
written. For like giblets, so I say jibs. Yeah.
I've never heard of anybody say jibs,
you know,
though.
When you shoot a rocket at someone and there's chunks everywhere?
And
it's
so,
jibs, man. Well, I don't know. Those all in Quake 3. People were typing that shit online. Hey, man, look at them jibs.
Well, maybe it's like GIF and GIF.
Grats on ding.
Nobody says GIF, damn it. I hope.
It's GIF.
Anyway, that's the one thing I did these past 3 weeks. No, I have other stuff.
Is it giblets or giblets?
It's giblets.
I'm just saying because you said GIF and GIF.
No, giblet is... Giblet's a dwarf, right? From Lord of the Rings.
I give it. You win that one.
He says, you have my axe? Giblet.
Oh, yeah, Giblet. Yeah. Giblet and Frodo. And Gandalf.
How about you, Boar? You been up to any shenanigans?
I haven't done a ton that was interesting, except for I recently just purchased a Raspberry Pi 3.
Uh-huh.
And I started playing around with that. And today I found an interesting use for it that I'm really stoked to go back home and like play with it a little bit. But one thing you can do with Raspberry Pis that I just learned today.
And this is a circuit board for those of you who aren't familiar with the
Raspberry
Pi. It's
not just a circuit board. It's like a full computer in a tiny little credit card size.
Yeah.
Like you can run an operating system.
It's changed basically everything. Raspberry Pi is kick ass.
Yeah. I've got a full version of Ubuntu on it and it runs a lot better than many of my old computers that I've had in the past. But one thing that I found for it is this program called Pi-hole.
Uh-huh.
And what it does is it basically acts as a DNS server proxy for your house, and it'll completely filter out all of the ads for every website for every device that you have connected to your house.
What?
System.
Holy shit.
So your phones, your computers, everything that you have hooked up to your home network, it would use this, it would use your Raspberry Pi as the DNS server and just completely kill ads for everything.
Is this something you just look up how to program it, or is it actually an app?
No, it's just a program that you, it's like a Linux app that you just run, and you just leave the Raspberry Pi turned on and connected to your network all the time. And so whenever you'd have to set your router to use that as your DNS so that all of your devices would point towards it.
And that doesn't
but then
slow
whenever
things
you
down.
Do a DNS lookup, what it'd do is if it requested the address for any sort of an ad server, it would return like a loopback address. So it would be like a really quick thing for your...
Huh.
Yeah, so it wouldn't even try to load it. It would just do it really fast.
Are they using these in the cube satellites or something different? I thought they're using like...
I don't know what a cube satellite is.
It's the brand... Basically, they're tiny like couple inch... cubes that are launched into space, and there's like millions of them now like orbiting that students and people are launching and getting it's the new way they're charting like space, and they have sensors on them, but they're so tiny and cost effective.
Like schools, like a high school could build one of these,
and they
send
use
it
something
NASA.
Like a Raspberry Pi, where it's like a tiny lightweight low power computer, but it can be hooked up to like many different functions and sensors. Cube satellites have been a growing trend recently.
I'm looking at it and
they don't look special, but
it
they're just hugely
look
popular.
It doesn't look like it. It looks like more...
It's like the idea
specialized
of
hardware, as far as what I can tell.
What are some other cool things people have done with these? Because, I mean, like, I know they're supposed to be, like, a big deal, but I don't know, like, what...
Like, why is it different than a computer?
Another thing that I'm probably going to set up that... I already tried to start setting it up, but it's kind of a longer process than I thought it would be, but it's this program called OwnCloud, and it pretty much makes a clone of Dropbox for your own personal use. So you could share links publicly and you could have all of your folders backed up to it and stuff like that. So you could kind of just do an easy automatic backup. But the advantage would be that you wouldn't have your data like out in the actual cloud.
I gotcha. Okay.
But so it just automatically backs it up to that.
But you could access it remotely and stuff. Like, you there's still have apps for your phone and stuff like that. So you could point it to your home server, but you would just have the peace of mind that your data wasn't on
like a cloud,
a server you didn't control.
Or Google's thing.
I thought they didn't have really hard drive space, or do you have to hook up?
Well, that would be the other advantage, is that you would only be limited by the amount of hard drive space that you could buy.
So I see it's a little confusing, because when you back up your files, like, those things can't hold that much. They can't hold more.
No,
than,
but if
like,
but if you hook that
it's
up
got
to
four
to a
USB
hard drive,
ports.
Yeah, yeah.
On
so
it.
You have to hook it up to an external
hard drive.
Yeah, okay, I was just
so it's
like
a mini operating system, like a mini
yeah.
Computer.
But yeah. I mean, you could stick a pretty big little SD card in there too. So depending on how much space you needed, I mean, I could have more space on a micro SD card than I do in my Dropbox account. You know,
I guess it's just this the point of the Raspberry Pis and. I'm trying to grasp it, because it's basically a tiny computer. Why can't you just buy a tiny computer?
Well, it costs $37, and
there you go.
It uses a very small amount of power, like less power than it takes to charge your phone.
So you can leave it on all the time, like a DNS issue.
Exactly. So it pretty much just sips power. It's got a quad-core 1.2 gigahertz processor on it, and a...
Oh, really? I didn't know it was that.
It's got a dedicated H.264 GPU like decoder. So it can play, you can use it as a media center. Like, you can take one of these and load XBMC, or I think it's called Kodi now, which is basically like a full-fledged media center. So you could either feed it files like from your network, like say you downloaded a bunch of movies or whatever, you could point it to that and it would download all of the cover art for it and make it really easy. I actually made a Raspberry Pi media center for my mom, who lives out in like the middle of nowhere. And, made it with the Raspberry Pi, and
did she think you were bringing her an actual Pi?
No, I just loaded,
my grandmother
would. I just loaded a bunch of media onto like an external hard drive to connect into it, and you can control the thing with your remote, like your TV's remote control, because it takes commands over HDMI. And like, there's just so many cool things you can do with them.
Well, then I have a question. I was considering a while ago getting one, because it's basically a tiny portable computer, and I thought that I could use it to practice like doing code and stuff. You can load an operating system on it and just hook it up to a monitor and use it.
Yeah, or a TV. Just
like anything.
It's got
as long as
HDMI
you have a keyboard.
Yeah.
So basically, I can load my files, I can load an operating system, and just do whatever the hell I want with it.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you're kind of limited on the operating systems you can load onto it. Like, you pretty much have to pick a flavor of Linux. I think there's like two major ones.
Can't
right
be
now.
Like Windows 10.
There is some sort of a Windows 10. Internet of Things edition that you can download for it. I'm not exactly
sounds
sure.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, I
not
think
that I'm a huge fan of Windows, but it's what I know.
I think it's pretty bare bones, but I haven't played with it yet, and the information I saw online was pretty sparse.
I mean, you can run Oregon Trail on it all day.
Yeah.
That's what I know.
You can actually play Minecraft on it. The Linux that I installed had Minecraft preloaded on it.
It's a, what, you said quad 4 or whatever?
It's a quad core, 1.2 gigahertz.
I was thinking it was like a 486,
Raspberry Pi 3 anyway.
But... Oh, that's cool.
Oh, it's way faster than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, I know that now.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's pretty impressive. I mean, there's a lot of things that it can't do, but another cool thing you can do with it is they've got a $25 little camera module.
Oh, it's like an HD, like camera.
Yeah, like it's like an 8-megapixel little camera that you can get. And I just actually ordered one of these because I want to start playing around with it.
For secret webcamming.
Well, what I want to do with it is this camera module is so tiny and it's just got this little ribbon cable. So I'm going to try to make it into
a
security camera for my front door.
And it's like $37 plus like, I don't know, 20 for the camera and you're set.
Yeah.
You
something
get a program,
like that.
Feed it to your own computer.
Yeah. One of my friends had, he showed me this program that he had running on his Raspberry Pi. It's like a dedicated program for just doing security camera footage. Like, it can... it can sense when there's movement and like either alert you or
and you can hook up sensors to
only
it anyway.
take video or pictures when it senses movement.
Like I heard there's sensors you can plug into it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
And I think one of the most appealing things, at least to me, was that if there's something you want to do with it and you don't know how, you can literally Google search it and there's a way. Someone has already posted how to program it or a program that does the thing.
Oh,
for
yeah.
You.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I was messing around with a lot of stuff like that.
Guys, we should all buy one. Come back in 2 weeks, see what we've done with it.
I'm
just going to glue toilet paper
rolls
to
mine,
it.
I opened it and I charged it and
It doesn't work.
It doesn't have any batteries.
Yeah.
I plugged my phone into it.
Well, that explains why it wasn't working.
You could have added a battery pack to it, though. You could run, like, if you bought one of those Anker Power Core battery packs or something like that, you could easily run it for quite a long period
just
of time.
Just a DC cable or whatever?
Micro USB, actually. So one of those would be perfect.
Just plug it into whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like your nearby computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, exactly like that.
I want every USB port on my actual computer to have a Raspberry Pi in the USB port. I want like six of them.
But I almost ordered a second one today so I could just have it be dedicated to the video thing. But I'm going to play around with the first one a little bit more. It pretty much just takes the operating system on the micro SD card. So I ordered a second one so I can just swap them in and out
now.
And sort of have two virtual different machines.
So it's got USB ports and micro SD.
Yeah, it's got four USBs, an Ethernet, micro USB.
Does it do wireless yet? Does it have wireless?
Yeah, micro USB for the power. It's got
you can plug wireless.
It's got Wi-Fi built into it and Bluetooth.
Nice. Damn, at 37, I don't how.
And it's got an interface for Arduinos and different components like that.
Is the wireless that good? I mean, $37. I don't know how.
I heard that it was a little bit spotty. That's why for the Pi Hole app, I plan to just have it Ethernet,
plug it directly in.
Yeah, just wired in.
Can you plug one into another one? Just keep doing it? Just keep forever?
Yeah, you can make little cluster computers with it if you wanted.
That's how they made Chappie.
No, that was
would take so many.
Wasn't that PS4?
Right, yeah, whatever.
That's PS4's guys. Which a little bit stronger maybe.
See our previous Nerdy Show episode where we review the abysmal film Chappie.
I mean, it was cool.
It had a lot of potential. If they wouldn't have put Die Antwoord in it, it probably would have been great.
And yet they were my favorite part of the movie. Yeah.
Really?
Everything else wasn't working. They were the only part that worked.
I hated them.
I mean, I'm a Sony fanboy, and that PS4 part really pissed me off. It was so stupid. Like, you got like 10 PS4s, and it somehow could run fast enough to do like artificial intelligence. Like, no, that's not enough. To back up an AI, sorry. Anyway.
I mean,
and didn't they just have his like intelligence on like a thumb drive or something too?
God.
Something of the future is probably like 80 billion teraflops.
The sci in that sci-fi was so fucking piss poor. Neil Blomkamp or whatever the fuck.
Which sucked because I loved
Everyone loved District 9.
District 9 was great.
So good.
District 9 was a young director who probably had people making sure that his movie didn't suck.
Well, this was the same guy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not as much oversight because he had a hit on his hands, as is usually the case in situations like this. Yeah.
I love watching District 9 with like Nigerian friends. That's my favorite thing because they're like, oh man, that is insulting, but kind of accurate.
Nigerian?
Like, well, because there's like this gang of Nigerians in District 9.
I don't remember that. But
it was like a big deal. They sold people cat food.
Yeah, and they wanted to eat the arm of
the aliens.
The animals,
love cat food.
Eat the arm of
power.
The aliens.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that at all.
Like, I had Nigerian friends who were like, wow, that's really offensive, but kind of accurate. So I was like, oh, okay.
Were they straight up Nigerian or just South Africa?
No, straight up from Nigeria.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I'm just like, wow, that doesn't really make me want to go there. Thank you. Thanks. But, you know, whatever.
Did anyone else see the released teaser images for the next Red Dead game?
No.
No. Why didn't you bring that up earlier?
Because you were talking about Raspberry Pi.
Sorry,
and I was getting hungry.
Okay, go on.
Me too.
Do tell.
Rockstar just tweeted out, like 2 days ago, they just like tweeted out an image of like a red painted like texture and it just had the Rockstar logo like embedded on it. And it's and
so
it's, like,
no details.
So nothing
thanks.
Yet, no. But then earlier, I think it was either earlier today or like late last night, they released an image of that same like red painted background. But it's got seven silhouetted figures in front of like a sunrise or a sunset.
Are they doing Magnificent Seven?
I don't know. That's
I'm looking
the thing.
At it.
Like
it's
really
cool.
Like it's really weird timing when the Magnificent Seven just had a remake happen, and then they released this image. I don't know what the deal is.
Honestly, this is it looks like a multiplayer only game. Sorry.
You know, multiplayer is actually not a bad idea. If it's like co-op with your friends, like drop in play, because everyone's like trying to do drop in gameplay.
So long as there's a single player campaign, because I didn't get Star Wars Battlefront because I don't enjoy multiplayer games, and I heard that I was somewhat vindicated in that because I've heard that Battlefront's is apparently people playing it is dropping off rapidly. Is that that's what I've heard?
Oh,
recently.
I have no idea. I haven't played.
I didn't look into it, but I heard that, and then that they're having the next Battlefront game will have a single player campaign because
of that. Well, yeah, everyone's going to want the single player one because the second one.
Well, that was the main gripe, was that it looked so pretty and there was no fucking single player and it was all the same shit with new skins.
But the the interesting thing that you brought up about that with if it's multiplayer, I know all these game companies are now like they're super into just wanting to have like the what they're calling like the drop in gameplay where your friends just like sign on, they see that you're on, and they literally drop into your game and you play together like a sustained world. I mean, this is pure speculation on my part, but I'm just thinking if the idea is like, oh, let's try and do what The Division promised, but in the Old West.
I hope they don't.
What do you mean? Like,
that would make me angry.
Yeah.
Of like what they promised, the idea that I could be playing the game and then you can drop in. I didn't play The Division.
Dark Souls does that.
Fine, do it like the way Dark Souls does.
You don't
does
want
it.
Them to drop in, but they do it anyway.
But the idea of like, look what they did with GTA. No. Look at GTA Online where you form your own gang.
A cowboy has entered.
And you just start
that
hiding.
That would be great.
And you just start hiding because you know they're going to kill you.
But if
GTA multiplayer sucked at the beginning. They needed a lot of patches.
I haven't played it, so I don't know. I'm just saying. Never went back. But like with GTA multiplayer, they're big on you want to make your own gang. You go on to your own quests, but like do that as
I am under the impression that
gang cowboys.
People are actually still doing GTA multiplayer quite a bit.
Well, they made it good at the beginning. You just ran around and did stupid quests that did nothing, and there was no bank heist. It was just bullshit.
It's actually a lot of fun, and I would probably still be playing it if
it didn't load so
freaking slowly.
But
everything
that,
you do in that game takes like 20 minutes to load up a map.
But if they improve that and you put it in the Old West, robbing a train with your friends dropping in would be pretty cool.
Maybe.
I think
what if
be
you
fun.
Were, what if you, Boar, were driving the train? And then like 10 people start come up on horses.
So I'm playing Microsoft Train Simulator.
Defend your train from the posse.
1850.
He's got to press X and square alternating to shovel the coal. Oh, fun.
That's the only thing you can do. But like, well, you know, esports is a huge thing now and everyone wants to get on that esports money. So like Overwatch completely designed to be esports game, which is why there's no fucking story in the game.
In spite
outside
of
the game there is, yes. Yeah. But not inside the game. And so like...
I always argue with Tony about that because it was always about like, how there's so much story in Overwatch, and I'm like, there's zero story.
If I never read anything or watched anything, and I just bought this game, I'd be like, there's no story. You just jump in. Why are we killing each other? I don't get it.
Zero story.
I don't want that in Red Dead Redemption. Obviously, we all know they're not going to do that with Red Dead Redemption. Their main point of sale for the last game was the awesome
story. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying the whole game should be just you shooting shit up with your friends, but just like...
But like, you could turn multiplayer on and then like, as a feature.
You gotta round up a posse.
Exactly.
Wasn't that already in the game where people could drop in? In the last game, and you could just play multi. There is multiplayer. What was it, just deathmatch?
I only played a little bit of the single player, so.
Well, it would be funny if they brought it back. The new game is more like Red Dead. What was the first one?
Revolver.
And it was just like stages after stages instead of an actual
but that
open
was a
world.
That was a fun game, though. Like, I liked the
it was, but not nearly as good as the second.
Oh, no, of course not. It's the years apart. But like the dueling aspect, you know, like having
really
to draw
fun.
Your gun and everything, and that was fun.
They do that.
I never really played either. I watched somebody play Redemption a bit, but that's about the extent of it.
Redemption's like the Skyrim of the West.
No,
except with a story.
I watched quite a bit of gameplay. So
Grand Theft Horsey.
It seemed like it was cool. I just never cared enough to actually play it.
Save a lady from the railroad tracks, and then put her on a different set of railroad tracks.
The ending, though, guys. You guys haven't gotten to the end, have you?
No, but
I
had it spoiled for me, but whatever.
Oh, my God. Played it, right?
I didn't play it, but I watched a lot play it, and I saw how that went down,
Holy
and it's serious
shit.
Business.
Can I spoil it?
No, people might listen.
Don't bother. They'll check it out.
Guys,
I'll link where you can buy this at probably a great deal on Amazon.
It is worth it for the ending.
And you can fund Nerdy Show by buying Red Dead Redemption on Amazon.
I should just be like, Red Dead Redemption Remastered. It's like all this hype for nothing. Everyone's been begging for it since it ended.
Oh,
that is something.
Yeah,
would do.
I actually saw a joke that somebody said that what Rockstar is probably going to do is just they're just going to have a clothing pack for GTA 5. It'll just be a bunch of cowboy hats and stuff like that.
Oh, it would be great if you could get a horse, though, and ride it on the road.
Hoo-wee! GTA 5's now got a lasso and new hats!
All right, to be fair, I would immediately play it again if that was in it.
It's like you could just steal a car with 500 horsepower or ride a horse.
Or ride a horse with one horsepower.
Yeah.
Got enough credits? Buy a new GTA 5 buggy! Complete with a horse.
I would love
that. No, the Amish expansion pack.
Yeah.
That is it, dude. That's the GTA pack.
Complete with the quilting and mini game and also barn raising mini game.
Yeah, yeah.
Churn the butter.
Oh, shit. He got the Rumspringa power up. Never know what's going to happen now. Let's see if he decides to come back afterwards.
So we literally don't know anything else besides the pictures.
No, but it's they've all but announced it, basically. So looking forward to hearing more soon, because first two games are pretty cool.
So I was in Chicago.
Whoa, wait. Before that, yeah, I've got another Western-themed thing to talk about.
Please.
Have any of you watched Westworld yet?
No.
Not yet.
Holy crap, it's so good. You really need to watch it.
I watched the original Westworld.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Is it like West Wing?
I'm interested exactly in like watching the original movie, but I also don't want to in case there's some sort of a spoiler.
If there is potential spoiler stuff in the show, don't watch it, because there may be something in the movie that informs what happens. So best to avoid it and then go back once it's finished.
I have a speculation that it's possible that the original movie was maybe 30 years before this or something, because they hint at things happening
in
the past. But
what is Westworld?
Westworld is a new show on HBO, and they have, from what I understand, a Game of Thrones budget type of budget going into that. So it's about a future theme park where there's robots that are everywhere, sort of as reenactors in this Western town and surrounding area. I think there's actually a couple of towns. And,
is the whole theme
area.
Park Western or just one section?
The whole theme park is Western.
Like, but
the
it's
whole...
a future theme park.
Yes.
It's in the future.
It's in the future.
Oh, okay.
Robots look just like humans.
Yeah, the robots are like full androids. They have like flesh and blood, kind of. It looks like they 3D print the flesh on them. And
It's Jurassic Park, but with human robots and cowboy outfits.
It's what Fangamer wants to be.
And when I say
like,
it's...
at their conventions.
When I say it's Jurassic Park and cowboy outfits, I literally mean that because Michael Crichton wrote it.
Yeah.
Same guy who wrote Jurassic Park wrote this.
Yes.
And
I thought Michael Crichton stole Jurassic Park's premise from whoever wrote Westworld. I thought it was a different writer.
No. This current Westworld is not written by Michael Crichton because he passed away. But he wrote and directed the original Westworld movie. And then a few years later,
he directed the original Westworld movie? Really?
Yes. He wrote and directed it.
Wow.
And then I think like 20-30 years later, they do Jurassic Park, and it's pretty much the same movie.
With dinosaur skins.
But with dinosaurs, it's reskinned with dinosaurs in HD.
So the idea is that they give you like a gun and full Western clothes, and you sort of immerse yourself in this town.
It's like
they drop you off into it, and the robots are just kind of like living out their lives. And they
NPCs.
All have really, really intricate like lives that you can... but your way into, because they can react and
it's
adapt.
The holodeck with robots.
Basically, it is, because you can kill them; they can't hurt you. Like if they have guns, it's just sort of like you can't shoot other people. It seems like they have like exploding skin or something to compensate. They haven't totally explained it yet, but if you shoot a person, it doesn't do anything really. But yeah, I mean, you can have sex with them, you can kill them, you can do pretty much whatever you want. And they have like people that try to entice you into quests, like, come on over here and help me catch this guy or whatever.
I'll give you a bag
of
gold.
Maybe a bank robbery will happen in front of you, and you can, thwart the bank robbery.
Sounds
or you
great.
Can help the bank robbers, or you can, you know.
Do you think this is what the new Red Dead game's about? Like a theme park of the Western world, but in
it
the
future?
It would
be great that they're like, just
like, we got a great idea, guys.
Halfway through it, like you see like the code, and all of a sudden you wake up and you were just in the thing from Assassin's Creed this entire time.
It's the Abstergo machine. Yeah. Oh, God, I would hate
but,
that.
But Sir Anthony Hopkins is in it.
That's right, he's knighted.
And one of the McPoyles from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Wow. That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to watch it.
So good. Like
how far are you into
that? That's just the base premise of it, and you know, obviously things start to go wrong to make it interesting.
Oral is actually invited up to Atlanta to host a panel regarding Westworld. Unfortunately, it happened the same weekend as the hurricane. He wasn't able to go do that. The whole thing got, I think, probably canceled. The promoters contacted Flame On and had him do that.
Huh. Interesting.
Someone described the show to me as the Simpsons episode where they go to Itchy and Scratchy.
It's almost that was a spoof of the original Westworld.
Are you sure? Really?
I'm dead serious.
It has tones of the themes regarding the Institute from Fallout 4.
How is it that, like, 20 years later, I still learn new things about old Simpsons episodes? just new things I never knew.
Yeah,
as I get older, I learn more about the episode.
Where nothing can possibly go wrong. That's possibly go wrong. It's the first thing that's gone wrong. But there was also a sequel to Westworld called Future World. Not as good.
Yeah, it didn't sound. No. Doesn't sound good.
No. It's interesting you brought that up because they mentioned that in future seasons of Westworld they would be visiting the other theme parks.
Yeah,
because
in Westworld
there are multiple.
Yes, it's like there's like Frontierland in Disney, and then there's like Tomorrowland. Same thing. Where it's Westworld
Universal
over here.
Adventure.
Yeah,
except for the other ones are, I believe, medieval, and Rome.
And ancient Rome. Yeah.
Oh my God, what happens when all three of them start bleeding into each other?
You got Romans.
Watch
the original Westworld, and you might find out.
That's exactly why I'm worried about watching it.
Not saying it will happen, because to be completely honest, I think it does look like they're taking the show in an interesting different direction.
Like a 7-season-long interesting direction.
Like I said, I sort of have a theory that maybe this is 30 themes. Years later.
That would be so cool if they did that. Now I'm even more pumped to see.
Wouldn't they have mentioned that, though, that this was
they
a thing that
do.
Happened?
Like they say
like
that
the incident.
They say that there's like...
They pulled the same shit in Jurassic World, so who the fuck cares at this point?
Like the bots are pretty old. They established that that this has been going on for at least 100 years.
Oh, shit. Then that almost has to be like a sequel. That's awesome.
And they actually specifically reference stuff that happened like 30 years ago.
This makes me just want to get back to playing Fallout Nuka World.
Yeah. I'm going to dive into the show.
Actually, now that I think about it, it couldn't be 100 years because Anthony Hopkins was supposed to be around like at the beginning, but they showed him.
By the way,
a
long time has passed.
Yeah, maybe like at least 50 years. Then.
Damn, that could be pretty cool. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, I highly recommend it.
So, Cap, you went to Chicago.
I went to Chicago.
Cap went to Chicago.
I went to Chicago. one of the things I did there, which we've been talking about in weeks leading up to this, was I met up with the team of from One Shot Podcast. You may have heard them, podcast listeners. They do actual play tabletop role playing, and they kind of do a different
not like us, not actual.
Well, that's what it's called. It's called actual play. We do actual play as well, but ours are audio dramas, and theirs are. I mean, they're dramatic, but they're without the music and sound effects and all the things that cause us to have delayed releases.
Well, you also get the authentic gaming experience, whereas with us, it's more about,
we give people an authentic experience, it is cinematic first and foremost.
Exactly.
But anyway, they do a great show, and I met up with them for the first time, and we did a Twitch stream playing the tabletop game Betrayal at the House on the Hill. Had a great time. We'll link to where you can check out that entire playthrough on this episode's page. Basically, I'm saying go check that out because that's a thing in and of itself. But I'd never played Betrayal before. We talked about Betrayal a little bit in our recent board game episode. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I had a great time. If you're a fan of Betrayal and aren't aware, the first expansion for that game ever, and it's been like over a decade since that game's been out, the first expansion ever just came out.
Is it related to something called Betrayal at Krondor? That you know of?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I'm just wondering.
What's that? You
know, it was an old game that was an old D&D game for a computer back when they had 486 processors. And it was just called Betrayal in very large letters, D&D game of at Krondor. And I just thought maybe they were related. And they probably are. They probably are.
They probably are.
It's a D&D game. It's called Betrayal.
Well, this isn't a D&D game.
Was this the type of game?
Oh, it's not?
This is a tabletop
like a board game. Straight up
like
board game.
You draw tiles.
Are there dice?
There are dice,
then
yes.
It's a D&D game. Are there stats?
Yeah, there's stats.
There you go, D&D.
I think around 5 years ago or something, I used to play that game all the time.
Betrayal?
And the first, I think, Betrayal at House on the Haunted Hill or whatever the hell it's called. That was another thing, is we could never remember how to say the name of it. But the first, I think, dozen times I played that game, I was always the traitor and I always won. So people really hated playing with me.
It sounds like fun. I feel like we should do this next time.
I would love to. I'm actually a little hooked on it now. So
see, but or you could just play 13 Dead End Drive, where everybody's the betrayer all the time.
Have you played this game, Doug?
No.
This is different, and I think I'm just trying to
oversimplify it for the sake of just being dumb.
Okay. I still haven't played Finga, so whatever.
Yeah, whoever's the traitor is always random, and that's why it was really weird that I was the traitor like a dozen times.
That's why no one trusted you after that.
Yeah,
and still to this day,
this is what happens in like the Battlestar Galactica game that I used to play a shit ton of. Everyone used to think I was the traitor, but I was just a shitty human. I was never a Cylon. I was Sir Madam President who had cancer, but I was just an asshole, but I was never a Cylon. Like, throw her out of the air, like, no, guys, but fuck you, now you're gonna die.
So I was there, I had a lot of fun, I did a lot of cool things, I ate some wonderful food.
Did you meet Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago?
I didn't meet Abe, but we've had some close calls over the years. But here's the thing.
You had some near Abe experiences?
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of sausages, I had a moment where I was basically left to my own devices, and I thought, okay, so I've got the day. Because I was hanging out with my pal Mike Rothman, who's editor in chief of Consequences of Sound. People might know him from appearances on State of the Empire occasionally. It was us hanging out and then also doing work. And we had some great times. We watched some great films. Maybe I'll get into that. But there was this one moment where he went off to work. I got up late and was like, all right, so what am I going to do? So I looked up a website of weird things to do in Chicago to find some stuff. Because I've been to Chicago quite a bit. Find something I hadn't done before. Well, there's this British show called Travel Man. It's hosted by Richard Iowati, a.k.a. Moss from IT Crowd. And it's
so good.
It's a great show. You can watch all of it on YouTube. The premise is basically he goes to a foreign country for 2 days with a friend of his. He has basically a miserable time because he's a stick in the mud, and his friend usually has a great time, and they're usually like comedians.
And they always say, well, we'll spend as little as possible, but then he's like, we rented a royalty hotel room for £5,000. And it's just like, wow, okay.
on one of the episodes, and I thought it was Istanbul, but I tried to verify and it didn't quite look right. There was he went to a Turkish bathhouse. And this insane thing happens where it's got these steam rooms, these like cedar steam rooms, and then you get beaten by a
you know, that's a traditional thing in like Russia, even in like Greece.
They take this branch, this like a thrice soaked tree branch, so it's pliable, and these guys beat you with a tree branch after you've been in the steam room
What's the purpose of it?
Exfoliation. And so you do this, and then you...
Couldn't they just hand you a loofah?
No, because it's your back. Well, a lot of it's your back, too, and you can't reach it, man.
In the 20th century, yes, probably. But basically, I saw this on this...
The old ways and the best ways here.
I saw this on the show and thought, that's crazy. I bet I'll never see that in America. Turns out, there's one of a handful in America. It's this old bathhouse that's now been rebranded as... It's called Red Square. Because it's Russian.
Okay, yeah, well, that's why. There you go.
And it was frequented by Al Capone. It's been open since, like, the early 20th century.
Who was suspected of being a commie. It all makes sense now.
Don't go there and ask for the Al Capone. I'll take one Al Capone, please. It's like, sir, you don't want that.
You leave with syphilis.
So I thought, okay, so let me look into this. Because bathhouses, they have a reputation. I've never been to one before.
I'm so surprised you've never heard of this.
What do you mean I've never heard of this? I told you I've heard of this, which is why I saw that it was in Chicago. And
oh, okay. I thought you were like, I just learned of this recently. No, I saw it on
Travel Man.
That's right.
And then flash forward to there. Yeah, and then saw like, oh my God, they actually offer this here. They're one of like several locations in this entire country that does this weird thing. But it seemed like a very respectable place. It has a really fine dining Russian restaurant on the top of it. They offer like full massage, spa, pedicure services and everything, and then also have this old like Turkish steam room bathhouse thing going on downstairs. And I was like, geez, I don't know if I want to do that. It's pretty weird. But I am a sucker for new and different experiences. It's in a part of town I was going to go to anyway, probably. They got some great bookstores there, so maybe I'll pop in, I'll see how I feel about it, and maybe I will, maybe I won't, I don't know. So I go there. It's very nice. There's a really nice lady at the front desk. She shows me around and I'm like, fuck it, I'll do this. So I,
and here's where things went horribly wrong.
Not wrong. It was very strange. So, first of all, my biggest concern was, well, okay, so it's traditional. So it's segregated. There's a male section. There's a female section. There is a co-ed section, but it's very small. It doesn't have the same amenities that the others have. And I said to her, like, look, I'm a trans person. So what is that? Is that going to be a problem? Like, what's the clientele like? Is this going to be an issue? And she's like, well, I don't know. What are you comfortable with? I'm like, well, I'm comfortable with whatever. I'm probably going to make them uncomfortable. And she's like, well, if you're comfortable, then you know,
it would have been fine in the male one. I mean, because if you go to the female one and they say a penis,
yes, I mean that was a clear not going to do that thing.
Yeah, okay.
So I went in the male one. I go down there. It's very clean, very nice. It's 3 or 4 p.m. on a Friday. Like practically no one's there, but the people who are there, it's all Russians. I'm hearing nothing but Russian talk. There's like Putin on the TV. like it's Russian TV.
What have you done?
And it's like, I'm like, okay, this is...
It's like turns into Eastern Promises real quick.
it's mostly they're just hanging out in this like dark like lounge area, sitting on recliners.
Did anybody
watching.
Call you comrade and give you bear hug?
No, it didn't happen.
I just want to know if you made it out alive.
So it's... I go in, they got all these shower stalls. You're supposed to shower and then, you know, like do the steam room. So there's a regular steam room. I've never been in any steam rooms. That's like, you know, it's full of steam in there. Then there's the Turkish steam room, which is what they call a wet steam room, except it's not wet. It's actually extremely dry.
And there's figs everywhere.
It gets you wet because you sweat, right?
Well, you fucking get wet. It's like three.
Didn't know you like to get wet, Cap.
Three levels of cedar planks, so it smells like cedar and bricks in there. And you, it's extremely dry. It's really hot. Like every breath in through your nose kind of burns, and you feel like a loaf of bread or like a salmon on a cedar plank, like, you know, cooking in there.
So delicious. Got it.
Yeah, very delicious. And then so you're meant to be in there for like 10 to 5 minutes and then jump into a freezing cold pool of water or douse yourself
That's
in one
right,
of the showers.
That's right, they do that. Did you please tell me you did that?
Of course I did that. That's what I'm there for.
It's basically the ice bucket challenge, but they do it all the time.
Yeah, but you get real hot and then you get real cold. I mean, I played this game once upon a time during the Florida Scholastic Press Association, a event for the yearbook group that I worked with in high school. We hung out at a hotel for this convention and would jump from the jacuzzi to the swimming pool and have a similar experience, but not even remotely as intense as this. So it was strange. It was unusual. There was a lot of social nudity. But then the thing is that I did sign up for the plots, which I believe, if I'm remembering the name correctly, which is the
leaf hitting.
The leaf hitting.
Oh, please tell me you got that.
I did do that.
Wow.
I did do that.
Nice. How'd it feel? Did it sting?
This was a very unique experience. I'm going to attempt to I've already kind of given the basic gist of it, but basically you start, you're in the wet steam room. You're lying face down. And this old Russian guy who doesn't hardly speak any English starts hitting you with this tree.
That's just a fucking tree.
And it's quite intense. And there's a towel over your head, so your head doesn't get like you're hit.
So you can't see what's happening.
It gets like it's at first you're like, oh, it's an interesting sensation. Okay, sure. But like, I don't know how long I was in there. I don't know how long this lasted. You lose all sense of time. But after a while, you're like, my God, this is getting very intense. And it's like drawing breath in the steam room, especially with a towel over your head. You start, your breathing starts getting shallower. And it's almost like, I was like, wow, if I was claustrophobic, just being under this would feel like,
yeah,
I would feel trapped. It got to the point where it was really intense. And I was like, whoa, like this is getting, and just at that point, it was over. I jump in the cold thing and then I get back in there and do face up.
Oh shit, you did it again.
Well, that's how you got it. You got to do both sides.
Did he hit your wiener?
No, they put a towel over that.
What? You don't want them to hit your wiener with a tree?
I mean, I don't. Someone might, but I don't. That's not BDSM.
That's not what you
sign
up for.
That's not my scene.
I want to have my wiener hit with a
that
tree.
That said, I could see how anyone who's into punishment of any kind would be all over this, but might probably, you know, get a unsightly public erection, which I think would be frowned on in this case. I did not, because I don't enjoy that. But the thing is that at this point, face up, oh my God, it got so much more intense. It was,
well, it's more sensitive.
Is this like painful or what? Like, what is that?
It was more like, it's not pain, but it's sensation. It's out of control sensation after a while. And like I said, you lose sense of time and you use a towel over your face, and then
it doesn't sting because like I've been hit with palm fronds before and it's like, stings. Yeah. It does sting,
but it doesn't hurt. Except if it's
doing it for like 30 minutes.
After a while, like I got thinking, like my breathing got shallower and I started panicking, which I'm not prone to do. But I was like, this is crazy. Like, should I tell him to stop? Can I even handle this anymore? What's going on? And just the point that I'm like about to freak out, like, because I'm it's just I don't know. I've never experienced anything like that. But the thing, like, okay, this isn't pain. It's not pain, but it is torture. This is like torture. This is like something someone might do to psychologically destabilize somebody, and then it was over. Just as it was getting like as but to the point where I was starting
this
to really
how the Russians
question
get you,
things.
By the way,
and then I jump in the cold pool. The old guy's like, "Get in there. You stay in there, okay?" And I was like, "It's like because it's freezing. It's like hypothermia inducing water." And I get out, and I'm and this time it's way more intense than the last time, and I'm shaking, and I'm laughing, and I'm out of control of my body. I'm just sitting down. He puts a towel over my head, and I'm just shaking.
And you're naked
and
the whole
convulsing.
Time.
Yes,
and you
pool.
Paid
naked.
For this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was an experience, though.
But I mean, like, it was. But here's what happened: as soon as I'm shaking, I'm out of the cold water. I feel in my body this like chemicals coming out of parts of like the recesses of my body, and I'm
that was
this,
your soul.
This insane
exiting.
Endorphin rush where I'm in love with everybody. I'm thinking about how much I love my friends. Like I'm just it was this
sounds
weird,
like you almost died.
It was weird. You're boring.
That man beat you nearly within an inch of your life without you knowing.
Wait,
it.
If it's supposed
you were too
to...
polite to say anything.
I'm so
you were
confused.
The most vulnerable you've ever been with a room full of Russians who may or may not have been the mob in your mind, and you barely make it out alive. And that's what really happened. That's my armchair diagnosis.
And I mean, if it kind of makes you feel or induces like euphoria or endorphin rush or whatever, then why is Russia so angry if they're all getting this done?
That's
also a generalization. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I did see a dude in like a Soviet hat, like the kind with like it's pointy but has like ear flaps. He was wearing that in the wet steam room, beating himself with the
sticks,
beating himself off.
So yeah,
just,
so I did
that's
that
really sad. Did you like? I'll help you out, guy. Because he's just sitting there hitting himself.
He
like,
would have given me this look, like the fuck you say.
Nobody wants to hit themselves.
But it was. You said yeah, I paid for it. But it was actually like this place was like it was super nice and it was super cheap. Like it's $30 and you can be in there all day long using
that's
the sauna.
Cheaper
as much
than
as
a
you
Raspberry
want.
Pi 3.
And then it's thirty more bucks for the traditional plots.
Well, that's more
or whatever it's called. And then the massages were also like super cheap as well. So I did a very unusual thing.
It was $30 just to get hit with the sticks.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're special sticks. I mean, passed down.
He's a trained Russian guy. He didn't speak any English. So
how trained do you have to be to hit someone with a fucking stick?
Well,
or a tree leaf.
Here's the thing.
Or
I don't know. There were lasting repercussions, and I don't know if this is supposed to happen. I don't. Maybe he didn't do a good job. Maybe I should get my money back.
Like
I don't know.
You love Russia now.
I did end up with marks all over my body.
Well, I mean, obviously it's going to happen.
It was like it was like hickeys from like a space insect. Like, just, I mean, not welts, not bruises, but like hickey like points where the blood was drawn under the skin. But maybe it's because I have weak ass skin.
I think that's your first time going there. Maybe like you never been hit with a stick like that. Well,
I think it's
the
temperature change too. Like if you're in a lot of like heat and it brings the blood more to the surface and you get beat. You know, that happens, but
it was a fascinating experience. And also, I learned something for D&D. Like I've never been in environments that were, that hot before. I've never been in the steam tunnels. But now I've experienced two different kinds of steam tunnels. So just, you know, can add to the Jamella performance.
You've never like gone into your shower, turned off the fan and like plugged the door with a towel and just. Turn the shower on hot and just like took a shower and be like, shut the lights off.
I mean, I love that.
I love that.
That's hot.
It's not.
It's like steam room hot.
It is nothing compared to this.
Maybe your air conditioning.
Like,
was on.
It's more like building a hot box out in Arizona and hanging out in that with no humidity and super high heat. Yeah.
It's not
a lot of intense light.
It's things that would be considered abuse. If you weren't doing them of your own volition.
Is this like hot yoga almost? I've never done that.
Were doing yoga, then yes, it would be exactly like that.
I've been in one of those rooms where they put like coals in the thing and then steam comes out. Is that similar?
That is a sauna, yes.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
I mean...
It wasn't dry.
No. Anyway, so that was a thing. I also finally caught some of Ash versus the Evil Dead.
How is it? Because the second season they're working on.
Fantastic.
It's really good.
Second season's coming out right now. They're on episode 3. I watched the first two episodes. I wanted to watch it as soon as it came out, but it's on Stars, and I don't have Stars. So it was incredible. This is better than any film could be. It's the perfect
better.
Did you
than
finally
Army of Darkness?
Did you understand my fan theory yet?
Yes, and I agree with it.
Guess I should watch it.
But no, I mean, is it better than Army of Darkness? I don't know. I can't say. But as is it? It's a 100% quality Evil Dead experience. The best Evil Dead experience you could ever have.
See, I thought it was going to be terrible, but it's actually pretty.
No, it's really good.
It is so spot on. It's crazy.
Well, what's the name of the store that he works in?
It's not S-Mart because they didn't have the rights to Army of Darkness.
They do in season two.
Yeah, they do.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
But in the first season, they hadn't yet been able to acquire the rights to reference Army of Darkness in any way, including S-Mart and his robot hand.
Is it Kmart?
Wait, they couldn't. They couldn't reference his robot hand.
It was like Save a Lot, or
yeah, it was like a Best Buy knockoff.
If they couldn't reference his robot hand, then how the hell? What was on his hand?
A wooden cedar wood.
a fake wooden hand.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
But what about his cool gauntlet? Whatever.
Well, he's got the gauntlet, and that's what the chainsaw attaches.
Oh,
to.
Oh, nice. Okay, that was whatever. That's fine.
It was fantastic. I also saw It Follows, a horror film from last year, which was highly praised and is very cool. And the more you say about it, the less effective it is. So I'll just say it was good and you should check it out. And I'll link to it on this episode's page. And I watched the David Lynch film Wild at Heart, which starring Nick Cage in a snakeskin jacket, which represents his individuality. And it was...
Is this a newer film?
No, it's like 93. That was a hoot.
What? Oh, it's not. I'm thinking of that. Raising Arizona? Whatever,
yeah, Raising Arizona was much older.
Yeah, never mind.
Speaking of Twin Peaks, the Secret History of Twin Peaks has come out. This is the book by Mark Frost, the co-creator of Twin Peaks, and it tells you everything you need to know about the town that from the prehistory before the show all the way up to the time in between the show ended and the show coming back early next year.
This thing is a tome. It's huge.
What it? I like that there's a Great Horn Owl on the front. This thing is about 400 pages. It's over 350 pages.
Yeah, and it's chock
full of additional material about Twin Peaks.
It's pretty cool. Back in the 1991, Pocket Books produced this book called Welcome to Twin Peaks: Access Guide to the Town, which was this. They'd had the series called Access Guide to the Town, so they make one say Boston Access Guide to the Town, but they made one for a fictional show back in 91, and it was also like co-written by Mark Frost, and this new book is like this travel book times a million. I read the first 40 pages of it and learned more about the travels of Lewis and Clark than I ever did
in school,
in high school. Yeah.
Oh, I like that. This is a map though. That's really cool.
I mean, like this digs into our actual American history with lots of nuances for things that don't get talked about and spins fiction into it in a way that's indistinguishable. I actually don't like, I don't know what's fact and fiction anymore.
Hmm.
Have you seen the back of this? The other things you can get? Or was that fake or real?
No, that's real. I have both those books.
The Secret Diary of Laura Palmer.
Yeah, which is a fantastic book. It's really good.
So cool.
So I'll be reviewing that more on the next episode of Book Club. And speaking of Book Club, our new episode is recorded. It is coming out soon. We don't know when yet, but very soon. I'm working on it. That means you still have a little bit of time to finish reading Handmaid's Tale. Brandon, you screwed me up. A Handmaid's Tale.
A Handmaid's Tale.
If you haven't yet. And also, you need to make sure to subscribe to the Nerdy Show Book Club feed because we're not going to be releasing it in this Nerdy Show, the Nerdy Show feed anymore. It's going to be in its own feed exclusively. So do that. Now we might as well take the opportunity to thank the awesome people who make Nerdy Show possible. This show and the entire network are listener supported, and we have some new patrons who've joined us to help make our magic happen. That's Dylan Barber and Jennifer Klinkenbeard. That is a beautiful name.
Klinkenbeard.
I think of a beard made from beads and jewels.
Or Lincoln Logs.
Yeah, it'll work too.
Sounds German.
Dylan, Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us. And if you want to join us, well, you can help fund everything we do and get cool stuff in return, including early releases and all kinds of bonus content, hours and hours of bonus content in audio form as well as other forms as well. So you should totally do that. If you go to nerdyshow.com/support, you'll find all kinds of ways to help us out. Now, Brandon, you've been playing some video games.
I've been playing a video game. There's no way I'm topping your Russian story with this shit. And honestly, none of you in this room are going to be interested in it but me, but the fans might. So I'm going to talk about it for a minute. So I'm a huge fan of the Dragon Quest series because it came out around the same time as Final Fantasy. And I, you know, grew up playing Nintendo games and Super Nintendo games. So Dragon Quest 1 came out in 1986. And I have to talk about this for a bit because it leads into my other thing. So Dragon Quest One, you play as like this descendant of a hero of light, or Erdrick, whatever, and you go around. Basically, the game starts, you just thrown out into the world, and you have to find the items to get to the Dragon Lord and kill him, and that's the game. It's a 1980s NES game. Get over it. But here's the thing. You get to the end, and the thing that threw me off when I first played this was you talk to the Dragon Lord for a bit before you fight him, and he's like, do you want to share half the world with me? Plunge it into darkness and share it with me? And you're like, yes. You can choose yes or no. So I'm like, yes. And he's like, are you sure? Relinquish your weapon and, you know, give me thine weapon and we'll party. He doesn't say that, but I'm paraphrasing. And if you hit yes again, literally the world gets plunged into darkness. He tricks you and like casts you into some, I don't know, dark realm for eternity. And then it says game over and you hear the death music and you lose your entire... everything you've done up to that last dungeon, because you can only save in one place in the entire game.
Ooh,
so,
shit.
Yeah, so obviously you're supposed to hit no and fight him. Now, this new game that just came out called Dragon Quest Builders takes place with the premise, what happens if you clicked yes? What happened to the world after that? You know, if you did try to join him and he fucked you over and the world got plunged into darkness. So this new game kind of is like a clone, not a clone, but it plays like Minecraft, Terraria, Dragon Quest, and ActRaiser.
I was hoping you were going to say ActRaiser.
Yeah, and there's reviews of it that say it's basically Minecraft for people who hate Minecraft, and they're absolutely right. It is one of the funnest games I've played in the past couple years. I absolutely am in love with this
game. I'm trying to figure out how all that fits together. What does it look like?
It's basically, you know, blocks.
Uh-huh.
The enemies aren't, though. But with updated graphics, it's not like Minecraft pixel art kind of shit.
Is it first person?
It's third person.
Okay.
So essentially, as the game goes, you take place hundreds of years later as you are the hero from the first game with no memory, and you're guided by this goddess who basically says, since you have no memory, she's like, remember, you are not a hero. And she just says that to you, and you're like, what does that mean? And you slowly find out that you fucked the entire world up as the hero. You gave it up and like plunged the world into darkness. Everyone's dead. Every city's in like crumbling ruins, and your only goal is to rebuild the cities, like fend off waves of attacks. And the game is segmented into different like quests and chapters. So unlike Minecraft, different areas of the world are sealed off until you progress.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a randomly generated terrain. It is literally the entire game of the original game. So I've been playing it for a couple days now, and it is. If you're a Dragon Quest fan, which I don't know if any of you here are, but it is absolutely a game that you should play.
It looks exactly like Minecraft with like a high with res better graphics. Skin.
Yeah.
Because you can add texture packs to
but
Minecraft
it's so
and
much
have
better.
It look a lot better.
Like I said, there's actually quests and direction in every area. There's completely different ways to make things. And,
Do you do you have to be really creative to be able to build these buildings?
You can do whatever you want. But
so I'm not creative.
There are certain quests where they're like, well, we need this done. Like, you can build different rooms and like infirmaries and armories, and you can build them however you want. As long as they have certain items within them, they'll turn into an armory. But you have a certain allotted space. You have to build the town up because it's going to be attacked, and basically you survive and then try to build up like the next town and bring like people back to the world and all that. And you're the only one who remembers like the knowledge of how to like build shit. So the entire world is just screwed and you're the only one who can fix things. And you fucked up. So this is you repenting for destroying the world in the first place.
That's crazy that 30 years later, they're exploring this alternate reality.
Yeah. And it is. And that's what really attracted me to the game. It was kind of depressing. I was like, oh, this is what happens if you did decide to not fight the main bad guy and let him win. Okay. I can live with that. And
or if you just stop playing the game halfway, and then you, almost like Animal Crossing, where like if you leave it for too long and you come back and you're like, oh shit, things are bad.
There's cockroaches and weeds everywhere. Yeah. You just sleep forever in the game. Yeah, so the thing people don't, I don't think a lot of people realize this in America, is that Dragon Quest is way more popular than Final Fantasy in Japan. It is like double the popularity of Final Fantasy.
Well, kids get let out of school because of Dragon Quest.
Yeah,
right?
Like you'll see icons of like little slimes with smiley faces everywhere, little blue slimes. Way more than you'll see like Final Fantasy characters anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, Dragon Quest is like Sesame Street over there.
Like when the new one comes out over there, schools are shutting down. Like Dragon Quest, I think 10, which I hope comes here, because Dragon Quest Builders actually is sold out everywhere. Like it's actually doing a killing right now. And I actually do like it because it's not Minecraft where you just wander around aimlessly and try to figure out how to build things. It's a little simpler, but there's more direction. It's not like it's simple that it sucks.
I would still hate it.
Why? Why would you hate it, boy?
He's just a fan of Peasant's Quest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Boar hates everything.
That's not true.
It's fun.
He plays.
I just want to type in a command like "throw baby" and be done with it.
He loves you know, World of Warcraft, Ogre Simulator.
He loves Dark Matter.
Get ye flask, but you cannot get ye flask.
He loves Stargate.
I did. Well, you know what? I like Dark Matter and Stargate too. I just started watching Dark Matter season 2.
Yeah, I just talked about that last week, and it's on Netflix now. So if you were intrigued by Dark Matter on the last episode, it's season 1 and 2 are all on Netflix now. So watch it, damn it.
Yeah, and if you know,
even Brandon likes it apparently.
Well, cuz I've been looking for a show similar to Farscape for years, and this is the closest thing I got. So
it's less goofy.
I know. Farscape, it should be more goofy. Honestly, it could use more goofy, but whatever.
See, you also said Stargate 2, and there was rumors that they want to make a Stargate 2.
Well, they are, but it's a reboot of the movie. So, Kurt Russell, bye. You were for nothing.
Oh, man.
There's dinosaurs, though. I'm kidding. There's no fucking dinosaurs.
Well, I mean, it could be. It's Stargate.
Can they at least work James Spader into it?
No, he's doing that other show right now.
Blacklist?
Yeah.
That's really good. Mainly because James Spader is.
Well, he wrote it, I think. That's why. He's like an executive producer, maybe. I thought he wrote some of it, but that's why it's good. He should be in the new Stargate. I don't know how we started talking
about
Stargate.
Why reboot it? Because you said Stargate.
He could be the general or something.
He could. No. Mm-mm. I want him to be Daniel Jackson.
He could be the one that's
I want
him
to be an old Daniel Jackson. And even if it's rebooted, he's like, I'm just translator, but he's just old.
Like he's gone. It's because it's a Roland Emmerich joint. He's just like Brent Spiner and
I actually
and Independence Day. Like two of them should come together, and they're both like these mad scientists trying to crack how to open this thing.
Why aren't you writing this?
I should.
Yeah,
I grew to like the new Daniel Jackson better
from
SG-1.
Wait, wasn't that the same?
No.
Oh, okay.
Michael Shanks is like 10 years younger than James Spader.
Okay, I thought the same guy from the movie was also in the series for a bit.
No.
No? Okay, I was wrong.
No, nobody from the movies. Well, actually, there are a few people from the movie in the series, but it's like side characters.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, that's all I got, guys.
Hey, speaking of things with a budget befitting a sci-fi channel movie, I did see the follow-up to a conversation from an earlier episode. I did finally see Phantasm Ravager, the fifth installment of Phantasm.
Haven't we seen that before?
No. This is the fifth one that just came out.
For fuck's sake, I couldn't even handle the fourth one. What kind of existential bullshit happens in this one?
Well, first, before you get to that, what was it what you hoped it would be?
Well, it finished the series. Uh-huh. And considering that... the entire cast is super old and Angus Scrimm is dead, then that needed to happen. Mm-hmm. What I learned about this that I didn't know going into it was that it was actually filmed in secret over several years as a series of vignettes, and then they realized we have enough footage we could make a film out of this.
Oh.
So it's as disjointed or maybe even more disjointed than the narrative of the first film, which isn't a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. But this is an act of necessity. I love the Phantasm movies. They're super weird. And it's a narrative that's crazy and everything is on a cliffhanger. But it was building towards something big. It was so big that in the mid-90s, Roger Avery, who co-wrote Pulp Fiction and wrote and directed Rules of Attraction, was... had a script for Phantasm 5, like that was going to be starring Bruce Campbell as a general, and there was going to be this kind of like world war against these like extra dimensional beings and so on. And Phantasm 4 was made to try to like garner interest to make that happen, but unfortunately it didn't end up going down.
I mean, we watched that movie together, didn't we?
At one point, yeah.
Yeah, Phantasm 4, I still don't understand to this day.
I love Phantasm 4 so much. It's my second favorite.
Didn't
after the
he
first
turn
one.
Into a floating death orb at the end, the main character? How you resolve that?
There were some strange things that happened there, and don't expect much in the way of resolution.
Okay,
but
I won't.
This movie.
So we're talking like 800x600 or what?
Wow.
Ooh. this movie's super weird. It jumps all around the place. It's not perfect. It's far from perfect. The production value is pretty low. But
so 640x480.
If you're a Phantasm fan, you should see it. You'll enjoy it. I enjoyed it, but. It's the best we could do, and it's a labor of love, and it's the best we could do. So that's what we got.
Are you gonna buy the new box set then that has an orb with all the discs in it instead of just four?
If there is such a thing, yeah, because it'll probably be Blu-ray.
Oh yeah,
and currently what my Phantasm box set is Region 2, So yeah, I because there's a rights issue with Phantasm 2.
And the Blu-ray naturally has better resolution.
Right. Yes, exactly. So yeah, there's that. And I don't know if we do it. Is this the end of the show?
I don't see why not. We actually talked about it way more than I thought we were going to.
I got a question then. Since I've never seen any of the Phantasm movies, would it be an interesting experiment that would make sense at all if I watched them all in reverse order?
No.
No, don't do that.
I can tell you how it would not be rewarding. It would not at all be rewarding.
Because you're like, oh, it's so weird and so like
it's
disjointed.
It's not like a Tarantino film.
And just so out there, that's a once in a lifetime experience.
Well, it's not that weird in the beginning. Like the first like two are just like almost cut and dry horror films and they're cool and there's like different things in it that you won't see in a normal horror movie. But then you get into like three or maybe even just four and it becomes like a weird kind of psychedelic existential crisis movie.
Which the fifth one still is.
Yeah, but the first two are just straight up like horror movies.
I'm just fascinated by like these really popular movie series or movie things and people coming at them from a weird angle that's really unique. Like, for example, there's a fan edit of Fight Club where they remove all of the narration.
I would love to see that.
So the whole thing is just Edward Norton silently staring off into space sometimes. And then like there'll be a flicker of Brad Pitt behind him.
That's amazing.
And I want to see someone watch that movie who's never seen Fight Club.
I don't think you can do any of this with Phantasm.
But I'm just saying, like, the idea of, like, watching a famous horror series in reverse or something like that, especially Phantasm, which is so heady, like, I wonder what that would be like.
You would basically have things revealed backwards. And so you would not have the gift of the rising motion of, like, of discovering.
Sure. I mean, maybe there wouldn't be any great revelation
if
you watch
it
in reverse, it's, like, even better. Like, I'm not even saying that, but just, like, what kind of experience would that be other than just maybe the way Cap's describing it would just be a disappointing experience, maybe.
I saw it in theaters. It actually started with a video of recapping the four prior films. It's like it was like an instructional video of
for anyone who happened to walk into that one first.
Yeah, and it was at a smaller theater, so there was a person who came out on stage and actually asked, "So who has anybody here not seen Phantasm before?" And wait, one person raised their hand, so they experienced it, Doug. Someone's done it.
But then to go back and see all the other films, that's the big thing.
I heard that another thing you can do that's really cool is to watch the Star Wars prequels with no musical score. It's just people talking and sound effects, but there's literally no music playing. I heard it just makes it really fucking creepy and awkward.
Yeah, that would be. I mean, there's also the machete order. You watch them out of a certain order.
That sounds awful.
There's people have made fan cuts of Lost where you watch Lost in chronological order.
I'm still going to work like on the Back to the Future one, but
everything,
we'll get to that later.
Everything before they get to the island, like all in order. Then when they get to the island, it's all in order. And then afterwards, I'm like...
Have you done that with Back to the Future?
I did have a...
Where you watch the third movie.
You know, I know. I did do a marathon of it, but I've never watched it in 100% chronological
order.
Well,
what you... Brandon, this
you
is...
You start with the theme park ride, yes.
Yeah, this is the thing you proposed
that's
a long
with
time
the
ago.
Dinosaurs.
Start with the dinosaur theme park ride.
It's literally everything that's been committed to film for... Yeah. For Back to the Future being chronological order, Brandon wanted to make
like
a master edit, so it would be all
the footage. I'm just lazy as shit. I mean, it's like 10 years lazy.
Exactly, but it would be all the scenes from Back to the Future, so it would start with the prehistory stuff from the Back to the Future.
Someone
ride.
Did make a fan edit of using just the films, but to add the ride, that's the icing on the cake. That would be
and then the Western, and then all the future scenes, even though they take place in the first two movies, and then just all the others. And,
oh, dude, then you got to incorporate
the
game.
No, the future would be last season.
Then you got to incorporate the video game peppered throughout.
No, we're not going to. No.
You'd have to. You could incorporate
that's
the ride.
Canon.
The Telltale or the NES?
Telltale.
Because the NES
Citizen Brown.
Okay.
It's important.
All right. I never played it. Okay.
And then you got to like voiceover narrate the IDW comic, like panel by panel, like a storyboard.
Which, I mean, it would be incredible. It would be fucking incredible.
To have a complete anthology like experience, that would be amazing.
All right, next nerdy show that I'm on, I'll have a full report for you guys.
And the full report is that. I didn't do it.
Sorry. I thought about it a lot. I stared at it. I stared at the footage that I have.
Briefly.
Yeah.
Before we go... We're going to be at North Carolina Comic Con November 11th to 13th. That's myself and Aaron. We're going to be hosting some panels and some parties as well. So if you're anywhere near the Durham area or North Carolina in general, make a trip. Come out. Come see us at North Carolina Comic Con. And taking us out is a brand new track from a massive, massive video game music compilation. It's the 20th anniversary of the Nintendo 64 and the group Patient Corgi. Masterminds behind the Super VG Christmas Party and Soundwaves, a tribute to Echo the Dolphin, has assembled Tribute 64, an 87-track album.
To different 64s?
Different Nintendo 64 games, yes. Okay. Featuring a ton of folks you probably know, like this one, which is from Careless Juja. Half of Careless Juja is Travis, creator of Liberty. This is his performance of Golden Eyes, a track from GoldenEye.
Ooh. Shit.
Listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can also subscribe to us via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show on all of your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.